Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo. Don't forget this week, like all weeks, the Shakedown has a full lineup for y'all. Shakes Montana Mondays, doing the pregame show to get y'all ready for Monday Night Football. Chiefs hosting the Giants. Also, Not Your Average Tuesdays, man, it's going to be a slobber knocker this week. We talk all Week 8 action, looking forward to Week 9 matchups and, of course, your Week 9 storylines. Don't forget to bring your big boy pants and your big boy voice for Wednesdays. You know why? Because it's Black Freezy host Debate Wednesdays. If you ain't got that, sit back and listen and enjoy the show. And as always, all of your important, fantasy news, NBA and NFL, comes at you every Thursday with LRP Fantasy Thursdays. And to round out our week, all things sports, all things TV, all things hip-hop, all things anime, BMF, Wu-Tang, Baki, you name it. He covers it East Out Fridays. Get ready. This week is ready. However, this morning we are going to cover all of your Sunday's Week 8 matchups, talk some fantasy news, maybe even sneak preview a little Monday Night Football. But like always, and first, your intro.
Forget about tomorrow. Time for us to start winning is now. Now.
Hey, they don't like us, we don't like them. Nothing wrong with that, right?
At the end of the day, it's the same three things you've had to do in 35 that you got to do now in 2018.
I do not see no holes on this wall.
You got to run the ball.
Barkley off the left side. Here he goes. Look at the speed. Oh, my goodness. Breaks the tackle. Going to take it to the house. 92 yards. Toying with the defender. Saquon Barkley.
You got to stop the run.
Tyreek Hill lines up in the backfield.
The ball pops free, and it's recovered by Harrison. A snack for Damon Harrison early.
And you got to pressure the passer.
Wentz hangs in, holds it down. Down he goes. And an early sack by Olivier Vernon.
Two kinds of players in this league, folks. There are guys that play professional football, and there are professional football players. And the professional football players are the guys we want. I don't want guys that want to win. I want guys that hate to lose.
Odell Beckham Jr. down the sideline for the touchdown.
Giants fans, you are now listening to the hottest show on the planet, The Shakedown. Here to give you everything you need to know on your New York football Giants are Black Friday.
Welcome to the New York football Giants, Saquon Barkley, a.k.a. the Golden Child. Do you know who Alec Ogletree is? Like, I'm asking you for real.
Really?
But do you know who he is?
J-Rock.
We're
going 16-0, huh? 16-0,
bro.
How dare
you say anything worse?
How dare
you?
Out
your mind. You know
you
just drafted the Messiah.
Obi, the one and only, Shakes Montana.
If that man was a prospect like a Peyton Manning or a Joe Montana, like I've been saying the whole fucking time, you don't pass up on this talent. You don't do it.
Now here is your host, Shakes Montana.
Yeah, it's not Shakes, but we already knew that because you heard the beginning intro. Today's going to be fun. It's going to be a nice day. Giants fans, I know you are relaxing. You're probably not even up right now. You might not even be listening because you got a Monday Night Football game. But for everyone else, Week 8, Sunday games, 914-205-5796. Again, 914-205-5796. You got a game plan today. You want to watch. You got fantasy purposes. You got betting purposes. Maybe you're not a fan of the Giants and you're a fan of football and you want to talk about, you know, anything you want to talk about. We will leave Thursday night out of today's conversation. We already know number one team in the NFL, Green Bay Packers. We do not need to continue to talk about that. today's games are going to be interesting as we get into the meat and potatoes of the season. You know, sitting around a third of the way through the season, maybe, however you want to look at it. So it's 3 sixes is 18. So we're a little over a third of the way, heading more towards halfway through the season here. So we get to see now which teams are kind of, you know, maybe hitting their stride, which teams are who we thought they were, and maybe get to see some games this weekend. Of course, we talked a lot about last week having a lot of buys. This week, just two teams on a bye, the Las Vegas Raiders and the, almost said Oakland. Like, geez, I'm going to have to get used to that. Las Vegas Raiders and the Baltimore Ravens having a bye this week. The week 8 slate, let's get deep dive right into this. I guess we'll get into the morning games off top. Wait for Shakes to get in here. He can get my picks if he decides. If not, I'll just say my picks live on air and we can get back to it. The first game on the slate here I have the ESPN app pulled up. If you're looking at NFL, it's probably a different game. If you're looking at another app, it's probably a different game. ESPN app, first game has Divisional South, NFC Divisional game, NFC South, 10 a.m. West Coast, 1 p.m. East Coast game, Carolina Panthers taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Now, Carolina team that started the season off 3-0, looked like that defense might be making up for the offensive, you know, I won't say woes, but, you know, productivity being not up to par with, you know, Christian McCaffrey being out. And then, of course, you know, they crank off 4 straight losses. No Christian McCaffrey. Sam Darnold doesn't seem to be the man he used to be. And I think this is an interesting conversation to get into because you look at Teddy Bridgewater and what he was able to do last year with Christian McCaffrey. And then Christian McCaffrey goes out and then that team looks completely different. They drop him, pick up Sam Darnold. And we're looking at the same exact thing this year with Sam Darnold where Christian McCaffrey's in. The team looks like they're flowing. The defense looks like they're able to keep up with the offense and do those things, but they just couldn't. They couldn't keep that what's the word I'm looking for? Continuity, I guess, going on offense with Christian McCaffrey sitting out. Now, again, this is the number one guy in most fantasy leagues. A lot of people think he's the top 3 running back in the league, so you lose that kind of productivity on an offense. It's assuming you're probably going to miss a step. I think the biggest thing is how big of a step they take back whenever Christian McCaffrey's not on the field. They seem to not be able to run an offense in any way, shape, or form. Hubbard was supposed to be the guy, you know, backup guy, you know, relieve McCaffrey, come in spells, and I think him being thrusted into that first position role way too early, way too fast, I think it kind of ruined his progression, so to speak. And now we're looking at a guy who's not ready to be an NFL running back in every down setting, having to be thrust in that position. Of course, there's the NFL. You put your big boy pants on, you get out there, and you play the game. But to me, it's really interesting that the Panthers seem to not address any of the other issues when Christian McCaffrey is out. They just wait for him to get back, and hopefully he can play a full season, which I don't think he has in a while. And then, of course, the Falcons coming off the bye, having 2 weeks to prepare for this team, also being at home. It is exactly what I think it will be. And, yes, ESPN's got this as a 50-50 matchup. I mean, 51.1 and 48.5 and a 4.4% tie probability. That's interesting. So these two teams, not good. You know, fighting for a top spot in the NFL draft next year. Atlanta, however, favored by at home off the bye week. I would pick Atlanta and the points, of course. I think they can beat Carolina by more than 3. It's just Kyle Pitts is out there doing his thing. That defense in Carolina hasn't been able to stop tight ends all year. And for what it's worth, Matt Ryan has found his next Julio Jones for at least the rest of his career, which is kind of interesting. Next game on the docket, if you're looking at this, has the 1-6 Dolphins heading up to Buffalo to take on the 4-2 Bills, also coming off a bye last week. Buffalo, 14-point favorites at home, coming off the bye against Miami. It's too divisional for me. I can't say give me the points, but I am taking Buffalo in this game. Wouldn't be surprised, though. I believe this is the one of the teams they already shut out and beat by 40 points. So, I mean, I think that's what Vegas is going on there. But I'm going to skip that game because I believe we all know Josh Allen and the boys coming off the bye is, you know, a tall task for the Miami Dolphins and Tua IR Tagovailoa. 49ers traveling all the way to Chicago, early morning game. 3-4, Chicago coming off a beat down. I think it was in Tampa Bay last week. Yeah, it was, because the ball, the 600 football. But that game right there is interesting in and of itself. The Bears, like I said, it's, what was it, 4 or 5 turnovers last week, Justin Fields and that offense, I believe. Maybe it was a little less. I may be over-exaggerating that. But a multitude of turnovers by the offense, 3 points, no touchdowns, didn't seem to get anything moving. I believe still not able to throw for over 200 yards in a football game by Justin Fields. This is the 49ers game, I believe. They're coming up a little healthier. Reading this injury report, they're getting some names back. You know, Jimmy G, I believe, is still out, but they have Trey Lance active, so and that can show some spark. So, I of course, NFC North rival, I'm taking anyone that plays them, but I do think the Bears stand a good chance the Niners stand a good chance to beat the Bears coming off the bye. And this Bears team just doesn't look good offensively. Although defensively they haven't been able to put it together, I just don't think they'll be able to do that this weekend. That's going to be an interesting game to watch. I will take San Francisco money line on that one. Probably wouldn't stay away from the points. 4 is just a little too, I don't know. Steelers-Browns, another morning game next on the ESPN docket here. Pittsburgh Steelers taking on the Cleveland Browns. This was probably not so interesting a few weeks ago when Browns were, 4-1, I think, and Steelers were coming off some losses there. So this is going to be one of those things that I anticipate really, really, really AFC North divisional battle. Just nothing really, I don't want to say special about this game, but I think it's going to be nitty gritty, low scoring, AFC North battle. Like we see, Baker still injured. Obviously he's healthy enough to play, but you know, when you have, what most of these men have in their souls, they're going to be able to play through a lot more than any of us could ever imagine to play through. So the game in and of itself is hard to pick. I think it's a toss-up. They got Cleveland here as a 4-point favorite. I just don't think Pittsburgh still has anything left. Cleveland, I believe, already beat them this year. I think this is, you know, Cleveland's game to lose, so to speak. The 4 points is scary. I stay away from it. I'd feel a little better if it was, say, 3-ish, but that's just me. 2.5, maybe. I think it's a pick 'em game. As much as anyone thinks it's not, and how bad the Steelers have played, and I think the biggest thing for me for the Steelers is that they are coming off a bye week that gives people time to get healthy, and I think it's for them one of the times that it's quintessential that they get the work going. But I think Cleveland may be too much of a task in the. The head coach bowl, I mean, Nick Sirianni and Dan Campbell, I don't think, you know, one of my favorite shows to watch and listen to in the morning is Pat McAfee. And those guys cream these two head coaches every fucking day, and it's absolutely hilarious. But then you watch these guys and you go, man, They're right. These guys talk so awesome and talk so horribly at the same time. You just go, wow. And you got Dan Campbell, the ultimate man's football coach. And then Nick Sirianni, he tries absolutely the hardest to sound the smartest at all times. We all know someone like that, and it's kind of fun, you know, to laugh about with your friends. But imagine that being your head coach. That's just one of those things. Of your favorite football team you spend hundreds of dollars on, some even thousands of dollars on to see and everything. That's just weird. Those two guys, that's going to be a fun press conference after that game. Philly at a 3-point advantage. I'm going to take the Lions. I think they get the first win of the year because the Eagles are that bad. So that, you know, with the points, I'll take the Lions. Give me 3, and I think the Lions, you know, can cover that. Titans, Colts, interestingly enough, one of the few games that is probably worth watching, with the Colts starting out, you know, not very good looking offensively, defensively. They were, you know, trying their best to keep up, but the offense just had to keep them on the field. Last few weeks, I think it's 2 out of the last 3 games, Colts got wins. Last 3 games, that offense, Carson Wentz, they seem to be going, doing their thing. Titans may just be too much. I don't understand how Indianapolis is a 3-point favorite at home against a Titans team that went on the road and beat the Bills and then followed that up by a Kansas City Chief shellacking. You know, they just put it on them. They put it on them. And the Colts, for what it's worth, their 2 wins in the last 2 weeks, this is weird. I'm staying far the fuck away from this game betting-wise. But you know, picking it, I'll probably get into that later. That's a tough one, man. You'd want to go Tennessee. You'd want to go Derrick Henry. But if, you know, the NFL has showed you anything through 8 weeks, these type of games are nothing you expect, you know. Bengals, Jets, I don't think there's anything to talk about there. Cincinnati, 11 points. Shit, give me the shit. Yeah, but I'll take the Bengals and the points in that one. Jets are just an atrocious team, even coming off the bye. So it is what it is. Los Angeles Rams getting 16.5 going to Houston. I want to look something up. I should have looked this up earlier. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to look something up. So, I mean, if we can look here, week 2, they're 13.5 point dogs. They lose by 10. Week 3, they're 8-point dogs. They lose by, so they lost against the spread. They lost against the spread. They won against the spread. They lost against, fucking A, dude. Texans, 20-point line. Cardinals covered. Texans, 11-point line. Colts covered. Bills, 18-point line. Bills covered twice. Panthers, 8-point line. It covered by like 5. Like, yeah, let's God, they're 4-3 against the spread, and those 4 games are fucking over 10 points. 11, 20, 18, 8. Oh my god. Yeah. This is so ridiculous, guys. Why? Vegas, you are one sick puppy. But give me the Rams minus 16.5. I think they cover. The Texans haven't done anything, and they are just a bad team, and the Rams are not. And it's just, I mean, we see the Bills, they covered an 18-point spread, I believe. I just mentioned, so Jesus Louises. That's just absolutely wild. Moving on here. Moving on to the afternoon game, sitting here at 105 West Coast, 405 East Coast. Patriots taking on the Chargers here. Chargers getting 4 points. Patriots getting 4 points. Cross country game. Chargers off the bye. That's an easy one. Give me the Chargers money line on that one. Jaguars, Seahawks, another 105 start. West Coast, 405. Seattle. Seattle 2-5. I don't think they're a 2-5 team to me, but no Russell. I guess that's kind of true when you got Geno back there. Low rent for Tata, Russell Wilson pretty much. The Jaguars stink. The Seahawks seem to stink without Russell Wilson. Flip a coin and give me anyone, but I'll take the Seahawks at home. Washington, Denver. Denver favored by 4 there. To me, it's really just about Denver being one of the fraudulent teams, like Carolina that we talked about, starting out 3-0, now losing 4 straight, goes up against what preseason was supposed to be a top-notch defense and an offense with Ryan Fitzpatrick getting it together. Ryan goes down, Heineke starts, and then the defense just plays like, they don't know how to play. Traveling team, I'll take the Broncos at home. I'll stay away from the points. Saints Bucks, 425. It's probably the game of the week on Fox. Bucks. To me, this has got Bucks written all over it. But that's the NFL. Jameis comes out, could win this game, and this is the Saints of Week One. Who knows? Another NFC North invested game here. Cowboys. Sunday night football, heading to Minnesota, taking on the 3-3 off the bye week Minnesota Vikings. Also as well, Cowboys coming off a bye. I think this is interesting because you got two teams, one who, like the Packers since week one, took a not a very big loss, by the way. Not like the Packers, I would say, in week one, but since week one have been on a tear. They've been able to win every single game, and their offense just looks awesome. Defensively, they're back. I don't want to say back, but defensively, they're at a level now where you can say they're not going to be a detriment to this team winning or losing games. The boy Diggs out there can catch footballs, which is interesting enough because I think you got a lot of wide receivers coming up who may end up switching the corner here. It's going to be interesting. That game, 2.5 Minnesota, is an interesting, I say interesting a lot, but Vikings haven't looked bad. They are a missed kick away from defeating an undefeated Arizona Cardinals team. One loss Arizona Cardinals team now. They didn't really look bad offensively. Dalvin Cook's been putting up the numbers, getting injured still like always, but Kirk Cousins is doing Kirk Cousins things. His numbers have been really good. I think he's leading the league in passing yards still. So it's going to be a tall task for Minnesota, I think, to overcome the offensive firepower that Dallas has. But I just think defensively Dallas might be able to, put this one away, get a couple turnovers early, and we're looking at a very, very good Dallas Cowboys team. I hate to say that, and I hate to admit it, and they're on national television again, and who knows? 2.5 for Minnesota is something I'm definitely staying away from. But I would take the Cowboys money line. That's because I trust that offense. And for one reason and one reason alone, that defense and Diggs has been able to play. It's just the catastrophic or astronomical differences that we see in the statistical aspects of this game, of this defense. I mean, they jump from bottom five to top 12 in a year, adding a couple pieces, you know, keeping some of the core guys healthy. I mean, it's pretty non-Cowboy like, if you ask me, over the last few years what they've been able to do defensively. So, interesting enough, the game in and of itself has a little wrinkle in it. We'll start with this game because I think it is probably one of not the most important games of the day because of the storyline. And the storyline being that Dak Prescott not taking first-team reps and not taking a majority of the first-team reps. I mean, all week while Cooper Rush did, the word not coming out about Dak Prescott, you know, the calf injury. I mean, that is it. I think that's a testament to how good this team is that I'm really questioning if Cooper Rush starts, I still think they can get the victory. Like, that's a testament to the offensive coordinator in Dallas. What is his name? He's an old quarterback. It'll come to me later. Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore, to be able to take this offense, and I think, I don't want to say it's plug and play. I don't think that's the situation with any offense. We talk about any quarterback. You can't just, no matter who it is, take one quarterback in, out who does well and then put another one in and just think because, you know, you're running a good system, you can do that. But I do think you can get some of the same productivity within the means of the offense. Now, of course, Minnesota gets pressure with their front four. They ruin a lot of that. Cooper Rush, I don't think, has the abilities that Dak Prescott does to escape the pocket and make the right read or take off with it. So it gets real interesting and real fuzzy there, but that Cowboys O-line might have enough to stop four, maybe even five. So it's a toss-up for me, and we'll get into it later if Shakes comes on. If not, like I said, I'll run down who I think will win these games. Where are we at here? There we go. The sports world had a little day yesterday, you could say. Saturday football going on. Sorry about that. Saturday football, Saturday college football, looking into, as well as the UFC had a pretty good game, and a pretty big event on Yas Island over in Abu Dhabi. Glover Teixeira being the oldest man to ever win his first title in the UFC. The testament to Glover Teixeira's, you know, perseverance going into that fight. Man, it's been a long road and a long time coming. The man's had multiple title shots and wasn't able to, you know, pull a victory out, and it continued right after that to win, and get another title shot. So it's awesome. Glover was able to pull through and get that victory, but. Just some, you know, college football games that you know, you look at and you go, wow, that stood out. Ole Miss, number 10, taking a loss to Auburn, 18-31-20. The game of the day, I think, that most people were ears pierced, you know, say ears, what, peaked, eyes open for, would be, you know, the big Michigan game, Michigan against Michigan State. Michigan having a 30-14-point lead. 30-14, they had a 16-point lead, leading 30-14. There we go. You know, late in the third quarter there, Michigan State rallying, coming back, winning 37-33. So it's definitely a game that I'm sorry, drawing a blank there. I was looking at something else. Sorry about that, guys. it's definitely a game that I didn't anticipate being that good. I thought Michigan, with the defense, was going to be able to shut down Michigan State, and Jim Harbaugh, for what it's worth, being able to, you know, take away the zero. Michigan State, one of the things that, you know, they pride themselves on. You do have the, was it the kick six a few years ago between these two? So, you know, those are great games. This one, however, I don't think. You know, I looked at the score. You know, it's 30-14. You're just like, okay, Michigan's defense is good enough to, you know, probably not let them score more than, you know, 14 points here. Michigan can get another field goal or two and wrap this thing up, and you're looking at a moving on there. But Harbaugh is going to get some slack this week, and you know, it's interesting. Harbaugh, no chips. It's going to be weird to see. It's going to be weird to see how they treat this man in the coming weeks, especially if they miss the college playoff. Miami Pitt, another great game. Miami pulling it out 38-34. I did not watch it. Pittsburgh, however, being ranked, makes it a definite one. And then, of course, you know, Georgia handed the Florida Gators a massive loss. There's no real other big games that came out of the college weekend that really, you know, piqued your interest. Of course, you had the Ohio State-Penn State rivalry. Ohio State, you know, doing their thing, winning by 9 there. And then, of course, I would say the scoring game of the week, Virginia-BYU, in a game that before it started was 66 points over under. BYU scored 66 by themselves, defeating Virginia 66-49, you know, ranked 25th. You know, what does that do to them? Who knows? But my Lord, that was a interesting one. Didn't really watch it. I was looking through the phone last night, and lo and behold, seeing what it was on, and bam. It was like 45-49 when I turned it on beginning of the fourth quarter. So interesting enough, a game that I didn't bet on but probably should have. Fresno State beating number 21 San Diego State 30-20. Not too much there. And then, of course, the top dogs continue to win, number 1, number 2, number 3. Alabama LSU next week, I believe, on Saturday. And that's the end of the college games. Let's see here. Get that one going there. Today is a relaxing day. You know, it is a victory weekend for Green Bay Packers fans. So we are, you know, relaxing, not having to deal with the stress of a Sunday game. And Giants fans alike, you don't have to stress today. You know, you're relaxed. You're watching these games. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. 914-205-5796. Tell me any games you guys want to talk about, anything you guys want to get into this weekend. Your divisional foes having a Sunday night game. You guys having a Monday night game. Prime time for the NFC East. Is the NFC East all the way back with the NFC West taking some lumps maybe this weekend? I don't know about the Rams, but the Niners possibly and the Seahawks possibly taking more lumps, and then the Rams probably taking a stranglehold of number one. That's going to be some fun things to see. Any fantasy repercussions we got going on today? I'm here. Let's talk about it. But there's a storyline going around. I think we should probably touch base on. It's the Deshaun Watson one and the Houston Texans. Now, we won't get into the legal ramifications or the accusations, but I think the bigger topic at hand here is the fact that you have a guy who still is in a bunch of legal trouble, still don't know if he's going to be able to play, still don't know if he's going to be able to play into next season, And here we are listening to teams or reports of rumors of teams calling about him, trying to make trade offers. You know, the Panthers, however, have been refuted and denied all those rumors. But Miami Dolphins is one, and other different teams. And, of course, with Brian Flores never wanting to say that that's not the truth and just saying I don't talk about those things. I think it's real. I think it's real to me. This is a quarterback who was MVP candidate last 3 years, making amazing plays for a team that just didn't have much except DeAndre Hopkins and an unhealthy J.J. Watt for the last few years. So it's going to be an intriguing situation because the legal ramifications, whether they become a much ado about nothing or are something, are going to be rather tough for a lot of people to swallow. The allegations and the accusations for some people are enough to cause guilt. We've seen that time and time again through the NFL where men get accused and they get, you know, allegations brought up, and then it's false, it's wrong, and it doesn't matter because they only hear the first part and they don't tend to want to follow the rest of the story because their opinion's already made up. And I think that a lot of people are going to have their opinion made up on Deshaun Watson. They have it now. And before this is even over, they're going to continue. And I don't think anything that changes, I don't think any outcome in the judicial system will change a majority of people's minds on him as a character, as him as a person. And I think for a lot of teams, we've seen that. It's a Ray Rice situation. It's a, you know, the guy who went to go UFC, Greg Hardy situation. Now, those two guys are proven guilty and they have everything going on. But to me, more of the looks of that was anything else, because they did whatever they needed to do. They did their time, and, you know, it was then done and over with. And then they, you know, maybe got a tryout or something and played on another team. You know, I quote unquote didn't work out, and then they're out of the league. And I think that's the same thing with Deshaun Watson as it comes to all of this. I think his skill is going to be far outweighed by the perceived perception of the NFL fan bases moving forward. So as the courts and everything that gets settled, as Roger Goodell hands out, you know, commissioner exemptions and those things move to the wayside, it'll be a big point of emphasis for whichever fan base he goes to. The Texans, I don't believe he stays there, but anyone he tries to go to, I don't think he'll be perceived very well. Maybe in Jacksonville, because they got a touch of Philly coach and they don't give two shits about it, but other than that, man, it's a tough one. And look, it's not going to be Jacksonville. They got their guy. So that's a tough one, too. It's a tough pill to swallow for a lot of Deshaun Watson people and probably his inner circle, because these accusations and allegations are just maybe the tip of the iceberg, or, like I said, could be much ado about nothing. And then, you know, you've ruined an entire man's reputation for a buck, which we see a lot. Looks like no brothers are going to come in. Looks like we're not going to have much of a show today. Just a little quick run through of the games. The way this is going to go is, I'm just going to end the show. I'll do a quick closing and we'll just get on out of here. Quick 40 minutes, ran through the games, ran through some topics. Sorry about that. Amazon over here doing crazy stuff. But as as we move on, we're just going to get on out of here. So again, just want to thank you guys for listening to the show all week. Don't forget, we have a wide range of personalities all week. Everything will be... Sorry, I thought I was muted. Everything's going to be copacetic, as you should say. So, again, man, just don't forget, we got a full lineup this week, Shakes Montana Mondays. We got the pregame show tomorrow night, Monday Night Football. Your New York Giants going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, Tuesday, not so ever Tuesday. I plan to talk about all the games from Week 8, all your Sunday matchups, Monday night. And we'll get into Week 9. Anything, storyline to talk about, trades, big things, again, trade deadline coming up. So we'll talk about that. Again, Wednesdays. If you don't got your big boy voice, you don't got your big boy pants, you don't got your stats and your facts, and you don't got, you know, you don't feel comfortable, don't call the number, just listen, because it's Debate Wednesdays. Black Freezy. You want some? Come get some. And then, of course, NFL, NBA, all your fantasy news, Thursdays, the LRP, we're going to get that pop and locking, as the kids used to say. And then Friday, E-Style Fridays. You want to talk about BMF? You want to talk about Wu-Tang? You want to talk about anime like Baki? You want to talk about football? You want to talk about NBA? Maybe you want to talk about the World Series, because LRP's Houston Astros do have a problem. Down 3-1 to the Atlanta Braves. So if you want to talk about anything and everything E-Style Fridays, that is the day to do it. All week, the shakedown. Thank y'all. Love y'all. Have a good week.